Please turn with me to your copies of Scripture to Psalm 23. Psalm 23, and remember as I read and you follow along, this is God's holy, inerrant, infallible word, so give very careful attention now. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's follow the reading of God's holy word. Let's pray together. Our glorious and great God in heaven, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, how we thank you for being a covenant God with us. We thank you that your faithfulness, your loving kindness endure forever. We thank you that even though we are sinners, we deserve nothing but hell and your punishment, and yet you show your love to us by sending your Son, our Lord Jesus, to die for our sins, to be our good shepherd who has laid down his life for us. So Lord, tonight we ask that by your Spirit you will feed us by the Lord Jesus. You will show us the loveliness, the beauty, the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus. May his name be extolled high through the preaching and hearing of your holy word. And Lord, we pray that you will also powerfully destroy the kingdom of Satan. You will take away whatever distractions from us, whether they are from the flesh, from the world, from Satan. You will help us to focus on your word. Make us more and more like Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Our brothers and sisters, you and I are poor and needy creatures living in a fallen world. And God created all things very good. But because of the fall, nothing now is as good as it was created to be. You can easily make a list of problems that the world, the church, and even ourselves are facing daily. For example, groceries have been more and more expensive due to the inflation, and wars are still happening in many corners of the world, and they don't seem to stop anytime soon. And also, in terms of the church, many churches are getting more and more liberal. They are abandoning the scripture. They are calling evil good, and they are calling good evil. They are endorsing what God is condemning. And perhaps you yourself tonight, you are also struggling with things such as long-term illnesses, broken marriages, financial crisis, or rebellious children, even rebellious grandchildren. So tonight the question for you is, as a Christian, how are you going to respond to such challenges in your life, in the churches, in the world? And there are typically two kinds of sinful responses. The first is anxiety. That is that we are panicking about what's going on right now and also what things are going to be like in the future. We are panicking. The other sinful response is complacency. That means that we are taking God's mercies for granted. We are relying upon our own strength, and we are forgetting we are what we are, but by God's grace alone. And this is why we need Psalm 23 to remind us how God will care for us as our good shepherd, and also to remind us how we ought to trust in him with all thanksgiving and confidence. Psalm 23 is the cure, the God-given cure for your unbelieving anxiety, and also the God-given cure for your prideful complacency. So what I want to show you tonight from this passage is this. The Lord is your shepherd who provides for you, protects you, and pursues you. So consider three things that the Lord does for you as your good shepherd. First of all, the Lord provides for you. Second, the Lord protects you. And third, the Lord pursues you. So first of all, we learn from this passage, the Lord provides for you as your good shepherd. In Psalm 23, David was reflecting how God had dealt with him so kindly as his shepherd through his previous afflictions. Shepherd, you probably know, shepherd is a metaphor of God's care for his people. A good shepherd will make sure to provide all that the sheep need, especially food, drink, direction, and protection. So in verse 1, David could confidently declare, "I shall not want." Now, the word want means lack. That means that he shall not lack anything that he really needs, because the omniscient God, the all-knowing God, fully knows what he needs. And also the Almighty God is fully able to provide all that he needs. And thus God will always take the best care of him. God is all-sufficient for all of his people at all times, in all places. And then verse 2 further describes how God provides for his people, especially their physical needs. Look at verse 2 again with me. Here we read in verse 2, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters." So sheep are not that smart. Sheep are dumb animals. They can hardly find food, water, and cool places by themselves. So they fully rely upon the provision of the good shepherd. And a good shepherd takes his sheep to lie down in green pastures so that they can eat fresh grass and also rest. Also, a good shepherd leads his sheep to quiet waters instead of fast running waters like streams. Why is that? Well, it's because the wool of sheep can absorb much water, and thus if they fall into fast running streams, they might be too heavy to get out, and they might just be carried away by the streams and drowned eventually. David himself used to be a shepherd by vocation, so he must have got his metaphor from his real life experience as a professional shepherd. David must have also recalled how God had faithfully cared for him when he was on the run, being surrounded and pursued by his enemies, such as Saul and Absalom. A shepherd providing for his sheep is a very vivid picture of how God provides for his people. Like the sheep, we too are poor and needy, not knowing how to care for ourselves, and as we daily rely upon God to provide for us. God provides our daily food and drink, our shelter and rest, and all the other physical necessities. Think about the breakfast you had this morning. Think about the toilet and the faucet water you used this morning. Think about these things. Everything that sustains your life comes from God. God is the fountain of all goodness you are enjoying. We are told in James 1:17, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights." Well, we normally get provided by working our jobs. And yet, ultimately, it is still God who provides strength, wisdom, resources, and opportunities so that we may work and make a living and get provided. Now, in verse 3, the metaphor of shepherd goes on to show how God provides for our spiritual needs as our good shepherd. God provides the right path of righteousness for his people. So look at verse 3 again with me. We read in verse 3, "He restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake." So again, back to the metaphor. Sheep are prone to wander and go astray because they are dumb. And even they would even fall off the cliffs and die. Therefore, they rely on the shepherd to guide them in the right path. In a very much similar way, God's people, we are prone to go astray from God's will. We are prone to go astray from God's righteous paths. And our going astray often leads us to a lot of spiritual harms and even damages. Therefore, as we are told in verse 3, we desperately need God's grace of restoration and guidance for our souls. Whenever our souls are harmed and damaged by our sinful waywardness, we need God to restore our souls to true repentance and also the joy of salvation. And we also need God to lead us to walk in the path of righteousness. That is our daily sanctification. As you might have learned from the shorter catechisms, what is sanctification? That is by the power of the Holy Spirit. You die daily to your sinful thoughts, words, and deeds. You don't indulge in them, you don't allow them, you don't enjoy them, but you hate them, you grieve over them, you kill them by the power of the Spirit. And also, positively, you live unto righteous thoughts, words, and deeds by the power of the Spirit, according to the Word of God. Notice with me here, the purpose for God to lead us in righteousness. What is the purpose for God to lead us in righteousness? Well, we are told in at the end of verse 3, for His name's sake. So God leads and restores us whenever we are running astray. Why is that? Is it because we are so good that God cannot afford to lose us? Well, no. God graciously restores us only because God Himself is good and gracious. There's nothing in and of ourselves that can ever force God to help us. No, God extends His shepherding care for us for His name's sake, so that He may manifest His covenant loving kindness and His faithfulness to His people and get all the glory and honor from His people. David must have recalled all the bitter moments when he went astray from God by committing adultery and murder, which led to severe consequences not only to himself but also to his family. But David, at the same time, he must also have recalled the sweet moments when God graciously restored him to repentance, granted him forgiveness, and renewed his obedience so that he may pen the beautiful Psalm 51, the Psalm of Repentance, teaching us how to repent in a godly way. Brothers and sisters, it is indeed an astounding condescension for God to be your shepherd. Shepherd is a lowly and even dirty job in David's day. And God is the King, full of honor and glory above all the heavens and earth. And yet, God still chose to describe Himself as a shepherd who stoops down to you and offers care for you, even though you are a needy, messy, and unworthy sinner. Are you amazed by such loving kindness? Your life and breath is sustained through various means. So it is easy for you to trust in those means and not God Himself as your shepherd. But never forget, brothers and sisters, it is God, your shepherd, who supplies all these means. And it is also God, your shepherd, who makes these means profitable and fruitful for your good. Without the shepherd, you won't even have the water and grass you need. To give all the glory, give all the trust to your good shepherd, and not to those means, much less to yourself. Perhaps tonight, you are struggling with the sin of discontentment. You feel that you lack something you really want. You get really grumpy, unhappy, even embittered, because you think you lack something you really want. But let me ask you, does not your good shepherd, the all-knowing God, know all that you need? Does He not know your needs better than you yourself know your own needs? The Lord is calling you this evening to repent of your discontentment in light of the truth of this passage. And He's also calling you graciously to trust in Him as your good shepherd for all that you need. The Lord is also assuring you that in Him, you shall not lack anything you really need. You might lack something you want, but that's because your all-wise shepherd does not see it fit or good for you. But remember this, you will never lack anything that you truly, really need. Because of your shepherd, He cares for you with His infinite wisdom and power. Jesus, your good shepherd, is all sufficient for you. He is all that you need. Do you believe that? Are you struggling with certain besetting sins tonight? Let me encourage you to take comfort that your shepherd is ready and able to restore your soul by granting forgiveness and cleansing as soon as you repent of your sin and run to your shepherd. Take action as well to mortify your sins and strive for new obedience by the power of the Spirit, because your shepherd promises that He's willing and able to lead you in the paths of righteousness. When was the last time that you asked the Lord to restore your soul and lead you in the paths of righteousness? When was the last time? Or do you rely on your shepherd primarily or even only for the physical things while you neglect your spiritual needs? Well, the Lord is our good shepherd who provides for us both physically and spiritually. Now, this passage goes on to show us as our good shepherd, God protects us. So secondly, we learn from this passage, the Lord protects you as your good shepherd. Verses 4 and 5 shows us how God, as a shepherd, protects and defends His people from evils so that they fear no evil. So look at verse 4 again with me. We read in verse 4, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me." So again, this is a very vivid picture of how God will protect His people as their good shepherd. The sheep may walk through the valley of darkness, of shadow, where there is not much light and even there's all darkness. So they will be in danger from wild animals coming at any moment to attack them, and they wouldn't be able to see them. Similarly, living in this fallen world, we are surrounded by all kinds of evils, whether illnesses, disasters, or harms done to us by other men. And most of the time, we just cannot predict when and how such evils will fall upon us, just like dangers that come out of darkness, which makes these dangers even more dangerous. We are also facing three large enemies, namely the flesh, the world, and the devil, all of which are seeking to devour us, to draw us away from our God. So what a great danger, if you think seriously, what a great danger we are facing. Even now, as you are sitting there, trying to listen to the preaching, the devil is trying to work to take away the word you hear from your heart. So what a great danger you must recognize. Now, in this metaphor of shepherd, the shepherd, we read, use a tool, a rod. So what is a rod? Well, a rod is a short but sturdy wooden stick used to fight off wild animals and also to number the sheep, making sure none of them is lost. Similarly, God powerfully protects us by fighting our enemies, restraining evils, and making sure that none of His people will be lost. In other words, no evil will ever fall upon us, except in God's most wise and holy providence, as we are told by Jesus in Matthew chapter 10. So here in Matthew 10, 29 to 31, Jesus says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a cent?" Meaning that sparrows, they are not very valuable. They are very cheap, in other words. "And yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So do not fear, you are more valuable than many sparrows. So Jesus here is arguing from the lesser to the great, to the greater. In other words, if God will so care for these little birds, which are of so little value, then how much more will God care for his children? That is you and I, who are of much more value, who are categorically more valuable than these little creatures. God will surely care for us. We are also told in John 10, none of Jesus' sheep will perish. Jesus says in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Do you hear that? Jesus will so powerfully protect his people from any enemy. Even the strongest enemy will not be able to take you away from Jesus' hand. Now, the shepherd also uses another tool called a staff. What is a staff? A staff is a long wooden stick with a crook at the end, used to keep the sheep within a safe distance, and sometimes even to pull back some wandering, stubborn sheep back to the fold so that they would not wander away forever. Similarly, although we as sinful people, we are prone to wander away, nonetheless, God promises to guard and preserve us by his power so that we may persevere in our faith and obedience, just as a good shepherd will use a staff to pull back a wandering sheep. Believers, true believers, those who truly belong to Christ by faith, they are those who are preserved in Jesus Christ, as we are told in the book of Jude, verse 1. Also, believers, true believers, are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time, as we are promised in 1 Peter 1:5. Because God powerfully overcomes and restrains evils, and because God preserves his people, we can say confidently with the psalmist, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Brothers and sisters, are you ready to go through the valley of the shadow of death as part of your normal Christian life? Do not be deceived by the false teaching that says to you, well, as long as you trust in the Lord, then you will be healthy and wealthy, everything will be fine. No, being a Christian does not free you from trials. But being a Christian means that your good shepherd will lead you, not without, but through trials. Are you struggling with fear? If you do, then what do you fear? What is it that you're so fearful about? The future economy of this country? Your health? Or how other people look at you? Peer pressure? Well, remember, and take comfort as well, that the Lord, your good shepherd, he is always present with you through Christ, by his Spirit. Remember, your good shepherd is always restraining evils that could have harmed you. Remember, your good shepherd is always preserving your faith that could have been lost apart from his grace. No harm can ever befall you except what God has ordained for your good and for his own glory. If any harm ever happens to you, it's only by God's holy will for your sanctification, for you to be more and more conformed into the image of Christ. Now, in verse 5, this metaphor shifts slightly from the sheep field to the battlefield, showing that God's protection for his sheep will lead to their victory ultimately. So look at verse 5 again with me. We read in verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. So let's get this image right. The table here refers to a feast to celebrate victory in a battle. And then anointing the head with oil refers to the establishment of kingship, referring to David's kingship. And then the overflowing cup refers to the abundance possessed by the king anointed by God. So this is a picture borrowed from the experience of King David. Remember, God promised that David would be the king of Israel. And Samuel anointed King David. David, before he became a king, Samuel anointed his head as a symbol of his future kingship. But such a promise was not without challenges. Saul did all that he could to dishonor and destroy David, sending his army and special forces to assassinate David. But it was never successful. Why not? It's because the promise-keeping God, David's good shepherd, always protected David and ensured that David would become the king of Israel in his appointed time. So no matter how powerful, how wealthy, how shrewd Saul was, no matter how Saul conspired to take David's life, God still gave the kingship to David. And God blessed David abundantly according to his infallible plan. The victory of David, as we see in Psalm 23 here, is but a foreshadow of the victory of the greater David. That is our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son and the Lord of David. As the God-man Messiah, Jesus was betrayed, mocked, beaten, whipped, stripped, and crucified. He suffered sorrow, pain, shame, death under God's wrath and curse for your sake. And yet, all these shame and sufferings did not lead to his failure. No, but all these sufferings led to his victory. Through his death, he decisively defeated the power of sin and Satan and death. Because of his humble obedience in his humiliation, even to the point of death on the cross, God highly exalted Christ and bestowed upon him the name that is above every name, as we are told in Philippians 2. So you see victory over victory in the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus, the greater David. And all true believers, as they are in union with Jesus, they are also partaking of his victory over the enemies. So let me ask you, do you realize how much you need the victory won by Jesus? Do you realize that your enemy, Satan, is seeking to dishonor, destroy, and devour you by tempting you to turn away from God, by tempting you to be an enemy of God and a friend of the world, just as Saul did to David? You understand that the only reason that you would not totally lose the battle, but you will eventually win, is only because God has won the battle for your sake through your Savior, the Lord Jesus. You rely upon Jesus and his victory to fight the devil, to fight the world, to fight your sin. Or do you oftentimes succumb into temptations and deceptions from your enemies? But we have seen two beautiful pictures regarding God's provision and protection as our good shepherd. Now, this passage will show us how God will pursue us as our good shepherd. So thirdly, we learn from this passage, the Lord pursues you as your good shepherd. As a good shepherd, God will pursue his people with loving kindness and goodness whenever they are wayward, as we are told in verse 6. So look at verse 6 again with me. Here we read in verse 6, "Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So here, notice that the Hebrew word for follow in verse 6 can be translated also as pursue, which I believe better capture the sense of this verse. To translate the word for follow as pursue, God's dealing with his people, notice, is not merely to keep them alive and surviving, just like you keep your pet in a way. There is much more to it than just for God to keep you alive and surviving. Rather, God approaches and draws near to his people actively, personally, passionately, and purposefully in order to fellowship with his beloved people. We are also told in verse 6 how God pursues his people. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me. So here you see two of God's attributes are personified, representing God himself. It's essentially saying that God will follow or God will pursue me with his goodness and his loving kindness. Now, what do these two attributes mean, goodness and loving kindness? Well, goodness means God's intention and commitment to do good to his people. And loving kindness, this is a covenant language. Loving kindness means God's steadfast love to his people on the basis of his gracious covenant with his people to be their God. And these two are inseparable because God keeps his covenant loving kindness to us by constantly doing good to us in spite of our unworthiness. Remember, God has no obligation to love or to do good to us. Nonetheless, God still voluntarily condescends and binds himself to love us and to do us good by way of a covenant. He binds himself by making a covenant with us. His loving kindness and his goodness are the fountain from which flows his provision and protection for his people. His goodness and his loving kindness endures forever. As David said in verse 6, all the days of my life, even now in heaven, David is enjoying God's loving kindness and goodness to the fullness of degree. No matter what happens, even when we are brought very low, even when there seems to be no light, even when we seem to be in darkness, God's goodness and loving kindness remains the same, always, and will continue to pursue us even unto all eternity. Nothing can ever separate us from the love of God, for the love is in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we are told in Romans 8. The Apostle John also tells us in John 13, Jesus, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Do you hear that? God's love for us will never be hindered nor diminished. As we experience God's pursuit with his goodness and loving kindness, our hearts should be touched and should be delighted and should never be cold. And we should desire to be with God all the more. As we are told in the second part of verse 6, look at verse 6 again with me. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. Here's the key point. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So here the house of God, the house of the Lord, refers to the temple where worship was offered to God in the Old Testament. It represents God's presence with his beloved people in a very special way. For David, receiving all the physical provision and protection from God, listen carefully, receiving all these physical good things did not make him focus on things on earth. Rather, these temporal blessings, whether protection or provision, point him to the heavenly blessings, that is being with God himself. God preserved his earthly life so that he may partake of and enjoy the heavenly life with God himself, and that is his most precious portion forever. The goodness and loving kindness of God should amaze you, brothers and sisters. Who can ever say to the other person, I promise to be kind and good to you all the days of your life? Can anyone dare to say anything like that to anyone else? Well, certainly, no mortal man can ever say that, because we know so well that our love is so fallible and feeble. We can lose our patience so quickly, but it's not so for God. God will never be tired of showing His perfect goodness and loving kindness to those who truly belong to Him. What a great comfort. And also, imagine how terrible it would be if God could ever lose any degree of His loving kindness and goodness toward us. But be thankful and praise God for such unchanging and unfathomable love, loving kindness for you. Are you struggling with assurance of God's love? Are you doubting whether God still loves you because you think you have committed certain sins? Well, let me encourage you by looking at David's life. Even though David was a former adulterer and murderer, which is very heinous, nevertheless, God's goodness and loving kindness pursues him all the days of his life. A former adulterer, a former murderer, how could it be possible that God still pursues him with his unchanging loving kindness and goodness? Well, yes, it's possible. It is on the basis of God's goodness and loving kindness that God led him to repentance and God restored him to fellowship with God. So as long as you believe in Christ, as long as you truly repent of your sins by the power of the Spirit, you can be assured that God's goodness and loving kindness is also following you and pursuing you all the days of your life. Not that your faith or repentance earn God's love for you. No, but rather, it's the opposite. It is God's love, it is God's goodness that causes you, that motivates you, that encourages you to repent and lay hold of Him. God has been very gracious in His care for you. Your food, your drink, your salvation through Christ by the Spirit. But let me ask you, do these good things, do these, whether physical or saving benefits, do these good things move you to desire to be with the Lord? Do these things move you to cherish God all the more because He's so kind and good to you? Or do you receive all these good things from your God, your good shepherd, and yet you forget the shepherd himself, and even see those things as more important than the shepherd himself? Is that you? You and I are sinners, and therefore you and I deserve nothing but God's curse and wrath. So you must ask yourself a question tonight. Why can God still be your kind and good shepherd, even though you are sinners? It's because your great shepherd, Jesus Christ, He purchased the right for you to be God's sheep by laying down His own life for you. Christ suffered hunger and thirst so that you may receive food and drink, just as a sheep feed on the green pastures and drink in the quiet waters. Christ suffered separation from God the Father in sorrow, so that you may rest on God's presence in comfort. Christ was handed over to the torturing of enemies, so that you may celebrate victory over the enemies at the table in the presence of your enemies. Christ's head was pierced by the crown of thorns, so that your head may be anointed with oil. Christ drank the cup of God's full wrath for your sins, so that you may drink the cup overflowing with blessings. Christ was rejected and crushed by God as your substitute, so that you may be received and cared for as God's beloved sheep. Christ cried out painfully on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? So that you may cry out joyfully. Surely your goodness and your loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. Praise the Lord Jesus, who is your good shepherd. Praise the Lord Jesus, who has purchased the right for you to be his sheep. If you believe in the Lord Jesus as your good shepherd, so that he's pursuing you with loving kindness and goodness for you? Or are you still rejecting Christ, and therefore you are still under his curse and wrath? If that's you, let me plead with you tonight. Repent and run to your good shepherd Christ as your good shepherd while you still can. That's your portion forever. Don't perish, but have eternal life in your good shepherd. Let us pray. Our Lord and God, our good shepherd, we adore you this evening for your goodness by which you have provided for us. We bless you for your power by which you have protected us. And we praise you for your loving kindness by which you are pursuing us all the days of our life. Help us, O Lord, to trust in you in all things. We pray in the name of Christ, our good shepherd, who has laid down his life for us. Amen.